Hey, it's Buster Olney of the Baseball Tonight podcast. With ESPN Daily, you can wake up to the best story you'll hear all day. 20 minutes a day, 5 days a week, where you get an inside look at the most interesting stories at ESPN. It's told by the top reporters and insider on the planet. Plus, Mina Kimes does such a great job with it. The breaking news of SportsCenter with a deep dive storytelling of 30 for 30. Today's episode is one I thought our listeners would especially enjoy. Please listen and subscribe to ESPN Daily wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Sam, don't take this the wrong way, but this might be the nerdiest story I've ever read on ESPN.com. And yet I loved it.
Well, I mean, so much of how I learned to be a baseball fan was by studying the back of baseball cards. When you're a kid, you're not really an expert on anything that adults care about. But baseball is the one exception, right? You study these cards, you memorize the numbers and the words, and you've got something that you can contribute to in a conversation with an adult. Arguably, the most formative baseball writing in my life would have been the backs of baseball cards. I read all of them. I learned about baseball. In subtle ways, I learned about what matters in a baseball player and what accomplishments are worth preserving. And so it was this incredible rush of nostalgia for me to realize that one of these cards I remembered so well still had a mystery tucked deep inside it 30 years later for me to solve.
Don Mattingly is one of the most accomplished Yankees of all time. The 9-time Gold Glove winner and former MVP was so beloved, he earned the nickname Donnie Baseball. But while Mattingly was a superstar, few people know that he was also the subject of one of the strangest and dorkiest mysteries in the history of baseball. Today, we try to crack the case. Did Donnie Baseball himself lie about his age? And if so, why? I'm Mina Kimes. It's Wednesday, April 29th. This is ESPN Daily. I mean, you were sort of a detective.
Yeah, I was. I sleuthed.
Sam Miller writes about baseball for ESPN. He is also, apparently, a private investigator. Sam, this story begins with a random pack of baseball cards purchased in a card shop, like all great stories. Who opened that pack and why?
So this was a gentleman named Mark who was out of work and he needed motivation to fill out job applications. And so he decided to bribe himself with baseball cards. So he went to a card shop and found a box of unopened 87 Tops. 87 Tops is a very distinctive set, and it has this fake wood paneling, and I think a lot of people really consider that one of the best Tops designs. And so he got this set of classic cards from the junk wax era, and he opened one for every job interview, and then he would do what he did when he was a kid, where he would flip it over and, you know, look at the stats and then read the biographical information and then, I don't know, toss him aside. And so while he's doing that, he flips one of the cards over and it's a Don Mattingly card, Don Mattingly, the star of the day. And he sees this one sentence that jumps out at him, which is as follows. Don's birth certificate states he was born in 1962, not 1961, as shown in most baseball records. So this is like this moment where he goes, wait, he's never heard that. And he starts trying to dig into it to see if he can find any explanation at all for what this sentence means, if it's true, if it's not true. There is a birth date on every baseball card. It's not like they put the wrong birth date, which is a easy enough typographical error. They wrote Don's birth certificate states. They claimed to have seen his birth certificate.
I think it's worth hitting pause to explain to people why this is a big deal. Because it's not just some random player, right? Who, you know, according to this card, has been playing under a false age all along. And age matters when we look at players and their records and their legacies. This is Don Mattingly.
Yeah, Don Mattingly in the mid-80s was the biggest star in the game.
Holy cow, he did it! Charles Mattingly is unbelievable.
Don Mattingly has just tied a record, a home run in 8 consecutive games.
He was in New York. He was an MVP one year. He finished second the next year.
Here it goes. Long drive and a grand slam. Upper deck for Mattingly. A new Major League single season record, 6 grand slams.
There was really, I think, a sense among baseball fans and kids at the time that Don Mattingly was the next great historic figure in baseball. And his cards were the card you wanted to pull. Like his 1982 rookie card, there was a period where it was going for $100 when there were no other cards that were $100 that weren't 50 years old. And so it is an odd detail about a superstar who would have been of interest to everybody.
All right, so the guy who found the card was intrigued. But how did you get involved?
So Mark figured there has to be something there. He couldn't find anything on the internet. He was posting on message boards. He finally gave up and reached out to me and said, Sam, solve this mystery. This was my sweet spot for baseball card collecting. Certainly when I was 7 or 8 years old, I would have memorized all the backs of the cards. And I would have at the time thought that Don Mattingly's birth certificate stated he was born in 1962. And so I was totally on board. There are birth date controversies for Major League Baseball players frequently, but there are two things that are interesting about this. One is that it's Don Mattingly, the superstar of the day. And two is that he, according to this card, was making himself appear older instead of younger, which is not how birth date lying goes. Normally you would lie to make yourself younger so that you are a better prospect or so that your team thinks you're going to age better. This made him look older, and he was already a prodigy of baseball. He was a star prospect when he was very young. He was a star in the majors when he was very young. His career ended when he was very young. Again, like the central mystery is how could this, if it is in fact a secret about Don Mattingly, how could any secret about Don Mattingly exist for very long? Because he was just so famous. He was in New York, and yet somehow that fact seems to have been totally swallowed up.
I am looking right now at the 87 card, beautiful fake wood frame. And Sam, the man is smoldering and has a mustache that would put Tom Selleck to shame.
Yeah, Don Mattingly was, I mean, maybe the most famous mustache in the post-70s era. I've got to look up. Oh, you should, Mina, you should look up his 87 Topps All-Star card.
Oh, boy.
This is really like a portrait of a man. He was precocious, I would say, as a ball player, as a leader, as a superstar, as a everything.
So back to the card and back to the mystery. The quote was, Don's birth certificate states he was born in 1962, not 1961, as shown in most baseball records. So you get this assignment from a complete stranger on the internet. You decide to take it, and when you start looking up, you know, his birth date and see what's out there, what does it say?
Not only does every official record up to that point in his career state him as being born in 1961, but every record, official record since then states that he was born in 1961. People are going to wonder why we're going on, because it seems obvious that he was born in 1961. Everybody agreed he was born in 1961. There's a reference to him in the New York Times when he was in the minors, and it states his age, which was consistent with 1961. There is a scouting report from his first year in professional baseball that his manager filed. It is consistent with him being born in 1961. He appeared in Faces in the Crowd, the Sports Illustrated featurette on amateur ball players. And it also states that he was born in 1961. So even before Don Mattingly was famous, the world had agreed that he was born in 1961.
So the card references the birth certificate, which, as you point out, whoever made the card says, according to the birth certificate, implying that they saw the birth certificate.
Yeah.
Did you do the obvious thing and try to find the birth certificate?
I did. And Indiana does not make their birth certificates public records. So unless you are Don Mattingly or related to Don Mattingly, you cannot access his birth certificate. So I went to Don Mattingly to try to get Don Mattingly to get me his birth certificate. And I went to the two most common places that you would go to reach a major league manager slash former Yankee superstar. I went to his agent. I went to his club. Both of them said, oh, yeah, no problem. We'll get you the official word on this. And then they both disappeared, suggesting that there is more to this story than Don Mattingly wanted me to know.
Coming up, let's discuss why learning more about baseball cards helped you solve this mystery. So you started off by looking for the birth certificate. Nothing. Tried to go to Mattingly. Nothing. Looked up articles. They all said 1961 from the time. What was your next move?
The next move was to find the writer. So I started trying to dig into the industry and see who was even writing these cards. And these baseball cards are really interesting to me as a baseball writer, because when I write an article about, say, Don Mattingly's birth certificate, they put my name on the top of it. I get credit. I'm a writer. And Topps baseball cards, they're uncredited. So somewhere there is someone, or maybe someone's, multiple people, who were writing thousands and thousands of words about baseball players that were being read by millions of people, including by me. I will be honest. My theory was that the Topps baseball card writer was some freelancer that they probably had, you know, a dozen different freelancers who were contributing these things, and that they were all lowly paid, maybe unreliable. And one of them decided as a prank that he was going to put this fake Don Mattingly birth date in.
Hmm.
The goal was just to find out who had pranked the baseball card industry by putting a fake birth date. And that was the most I was going to get.
But far from not serious freelancers, you kind of find the opposite. A total baseball obsessive who worked Topps. Who was he?
There was a guy whose name was Bill Haber. And Bill Haber had been one of the Topps employees who had done a little bit of everything for decades. But he was mostly there to do the stats. He would do all the stats by hand. He would go home for the winter with these 14 by 11 sheets of baseball card stats in tables. He would do all the calculations. He would arrange them, and then he would deliver them to Topps, and they would print them out on the baseball cards. He was also in charge of writing the backs of the cards. And Bill was, besides being an extremely valuable employee for Topps, he was also kind of famous among baseball research circles for being able to hunt down obscure details about 19th and early 20th century baseball players so that he could correct the record. And it's really due to him that we know so much about early baseball and about the biographies of so many of these baseball players, because he was spending almost all of his time and a lot of his money looking up birth certificates, looking up death certificates, looking in public records, and trying to get all the details of all these early baseball players. And so he was the one who would have been in charge of the Don Mattingly 1987 Topps. And if you know that about Bill Haber, then it makes sense that he might also be really interested in Don Mattingly's birth certificate.
So did you get to ask Bill Haber what happened?
I would have asked him, except that he died. And so I couldn't ask him that. I talked to his boss, who's a guy named Phil Carter. And Phil Carter took over Topps sports division in 1980. And he's really responsible for a lot of the development of Topps into this major brand with this wide body of different products and much more detail on the backs of the baseball cards. He was an English major when he was in college, and he really took the backs of the cards very seriously. And when I told him the story of the Don Mattingly 87 card, he did not remember it specifically, but he immediately started basically laughing because he said, oh, yeah, I mean, that immediately brings to mind Bill Haber, because Bill Haber was obsessed with birth certificates.
So what was your next move?
So the next move was to dig into Bill Haber, because I was trying to hunt down why he would have thought that Don Mattingly's birthday was wrong. He would keep index cards for every player who'd ever played. And one of the index cards would be for how they died. One of them would be for their year they debuted. And one of them would be for their birth date, and so on and so forth. Their middle name would have an index card. And then he would keep these files in his basement. And Phil remembers going down and seeing these rows and rows of index cards filed away. And so when he died, his research had been donated to the Baseball Hall of Fame because, again, Bill Haber was kind of a legend in this realm. And so I called the Hall of Fame and asked if I could sort of see the Haber notes. They send me 200 pages of Don Mattingly stuff, some sort of scanned memorabilia, like his first, the first paycheck he received, and then a lot of baseball articles that they've preserved. And it is there that we find two articles that would have appeared inside sports sections, one in 1986, one in 1987, both about Don Mattingly's birth date. And so the first one says Don Mattingly is claiming that he is a year younger and that he told the Yankees this and that he has proven, he has offered to show them his birth certificate to resolve the mystery. The full story is that Don Mattingly had been in a slump. He was tired of being asked questions about the slump. So he makes up this hoax and he's trying to distract everybody from his numbers by giving them a lie that they can dig into. And they bite. They ask him about the birth date instead. And it becomes this mini news cycle where people are asking him like, well, come on, really? And he says, I've got the birth certificate and so on. And then everything settles down. He gets some doubles. The slump ends. The world moves on. And Bill Haber, having heard about this, presumably writes a note to himself saying, next year, in the Topps card, we're going to make sure that we correct the record about Don Mattingly's card, because he would have been very interested in correcting the record about a player's birth certificate. And then the next year, somebody remembers that first story and asks Don Mattingly about it again. And reporters keep pressing him. And this time he can't keep a straight face. And they get him to admit that it was just a lie. And in the meantime, there is just this one little memento of the time that Don Mattingly made up a lie to try to distract the world from his slump. And it is in Topps baseball card packs that are still unopened and in baseball card shops today. Like, I'm just imagining a player telling me that today. And I don't think I would believe most players, but there might be every so often a Don Mattingly comes into the game where you look into his eyes and you see his mustache and you just want to believe.
All of this started because a guy named Mark was opening a pack of cards and rewarding himself for applying for jobs. Did he get a job?
He did get a job. He bought a box of 24 packs and it took him 22 packs. To be honest, I think he might have gotten the job a little bit earlier if he hadn't been so distracted by the Don Mattingly goose chase. But he got a job. He still has 2 packs left. If anybody needs some motivation, I might be able to hook you up.
Thanks so much, Sam.
You're welcome.
Coming up, while hockey's on ice, its stars take to the streets. Here's another story I want you to know. If you've been watching The Last Dance, you've been reminded of all of the great things about the 90s. Basketball, suits, Carmen Electra. Well, here's another 90s trend that's back in style. Rollerblading. Or at least, it's back in style for professional hockey players who can't skate right now because the rinks are closed unless they've been given access for rehab. So they're taking to the streets on blades. Or in the case of Penguins forward Patrick Marleau, they're taken to the hallways.
Dad, no rollerblading in the house! No rollerblading in the house!
According to a story by our Emily Kaplan, hockey players across the world have desperately been trying to get their hands on sweet blades because they need them to keep their hockey legs in shape. Sure, they can keep up their cardio by running, but it isn't the same. Now, blading also isn't the same as skating. LA Kings defenseman Drew Doughty told Kaplan it doesn't quite translate to the ice, and another player explained, you don't get the same buildup of lactic acid from having to dig into the ice to stop and start. but it's a decent simulation. And who knows? It might come back into style for everyone, too. But let's leave the baggy suits in the 90s. I'm Mina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.